It's a blessing to be here tonight. It's good to be back. Oh, am I on back there? Okay, all right. Just making sure. I don't need this, but I'll use it anyway. Oh, it's good to be here. I got a phone call about an hour ago, and but the Lord has been dealing with me today about this evening about the message tonight. And but I got a phone call about an hour ago and everybody stand all over the building. Bible speaks about standing in the gap. There's a little boy that's 18 months old about 2 hours ago. His name's Dakota Miller. Got shot with an air gun. They airlifted him to Birmingham to Children's Hospital. He's on life support. I got on an all call about an hour ago, I guess it was, and prayed with deacons. Do y'all believe in standing in the gap? Huh? You know, I still believe prayer works. Take your Bible, turn to the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16, I'll begin reading my text with verse 19. And I'll preach to you just a few minutes on some things that the Lord has laid on our heart. And I covet your prayers for just a few minutes. And let me say this while you're turning in your scripture, how much I love your preacher. Boy, he's a good one. Amen. He's a jewel. He's a godly man. He's more than just a minister. He's more than just a reverend. I call him the man of God. Amen. Yes, sir. That's how much I believe in him and his family, his precious wife. She still sang. Amen. He can't. He's lost it. Amen. Oh, but I tell you, he can still preach the word of God. Amen. I love him. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's read in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. The Bible said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. This evening I want to preach to you this on the subject about the rich man and Lazarus. And there's some things that come from this scripture I think that you and I'll find tonight. And first of all, I want you to notice in this scripture that death is sure. Amen. That's the first thing that I want you to know, that death is sure. Man dies, my friend. Both of these men outdied, my friend. Oh, may I say to you today that we're all going to leave this world one day after a while. Before I came over here tonight, I passed by two cemeteries before I got here. And folks, I believe that if you and I would walk out in that cemetery, those cemeteries, tonight we'll find all ages buried in that cemetery. Oh yes, death has no respect of person tonight. It doesn't make any difference if you're young. It doesn't make any difference if you're middle-aged. It doesn't make any difference if you're old tonight. Death has no respect, my friend. It doesn't make any difference if you're rich, if you're poor. Our death is certain, my friend. Death is coming to all of our house tonight. The Bible said here in verse 22, the Bible said it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Now this very distinct here in verse 22, that both of these men died, my friend. The Bible teaches us as well in Hebrews 9 and 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death then cometh the judgment, my friend. Oh, I had a doctor's appointment this week, two of them. One with a dermatologist and another with an eye doctor this week. Had to put both appointments off to the 22nd day of August. But my friend, there's an appointment with death. One day after a while, I'm going to keep it, my friend. I'm not going to be able to call in out of heaven's glory land and say, Father, can we put it off another week or so? When the appointment comes, I will keep that appointment when death comes. Not only will I keep that appointment when death comes, you'll keep it as well. You'll keep it as well. You can't buy medical attention. You can't buy health. No, sirree. You can't buy to live longer. When it's time for you to leave this world, you're going to leave this world. That's why I told my wife and children, hey, man, if something were to happen to me, don't hook me up, amen. Just let me go, amen. Brother Kenneth, I'm living to go to a land where the living's at. Hallelujah. And it wouldn't bother me to go tonight. Yes, sir, a land where the living is. I leaned over Brother William, told him a while ago, I said, I'm going to preach that sermon, Brother Kenneth, amen. May do it Sunday morning when I get back to church. Amen. Oh, but I want you to notice here in verse 22, the Bible said both of them died. Amen. May I say to you, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this building tonight, you have an appointment with death. Yes, sir. You may live to be 80. You may live to be 100. You may not live to be 25 or 38. I don't know what it is, but we have an appointment with death. Now, I want you to notice the second thing about this scripture. There was two modes of living in these two men. Look at it. The scripture teaches it. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That's the mode of the first one. He was rich. Secondly, the Bible said, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gates full of sores. He was a beggar. He was poor. One lived sumptuously, and the other one lived a beggar's life. Mm-mm. That's the mode of living in today's world. That's the mode of living in today's society. We're here. There are those that prosper. And there are those that don't prosper. But we all have an appointment with death. We all have an appointment with death. There's two ways, thirdly, of dying. Have you ever thought about that? There's two ways of dying. The Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 36, the scripture said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Here's one that dies without faith. Amen. You ever thought about that? Here he is, he's rich. He's fared sumptuously. He's had everything that his heart desired. Everything. I know people like that. I know people like that. They try to buy things. They try to buy things. They try to buy things to satisfy themselves. and you talk to them about their life and their condition, they don't believe that. They don't have any concern about that. Dying without faith. There are people today in Albertville, Alabama, that is dying without faith. And God has given me this message and laid it on my heart. And if God has given me this message and laid it on my heart, Brother Kenneth, there's somebody here tonight that's dying without faith. I'm talking about in the walls of this building. Brother David, that's dying without faith. They don't know Jesus Christ. They're living a life and they're just haphazardly living and going and going and going, and one day the going is going to come to an end.
That's right.
Without faith. Listen, this guy, he had everything, but he didn't have time for Jesus. He didn't have time for God. What about you? What about you? Do you have time? Preacher, I don't have time. You better take time. You better take time. Dying without faith. Oh, it's an awful thing. It's an awful thing because I've seen people die. I've stood by the bedside and watched people draw their last breath. And it's an awful sight to see somebody die without faith. I've seen young people cry out laying on their deathbed to their mom and dad and say, "Pull my feet out of the fire. Pull my hands out of the fire. Pull my body out of the fire." And if that's not a shocking experience for every child of God, you need to see it. That's the reason I preach the way I preach. That's the reason I beg people to get saved. It's an awful thing to see someone die in that condition without faith. Hear this rich man. He's dying. His money can't help him. As my grandpa used to say, it can't hope him a bit. It just ain't going to help him a bit. Nothing. But then, here's this other fellow. He's a beggar. He's a beggar. Name's Lazarus. You know, when these rich folks would eat, after they got through eating, they'd take the bread and they'd wash their hands with that bread and then throw it out. The animals, the livestock, whatever. That's what that beggar wanted. Was that bread that the rich man washed his hands with after he got through eating? That's what he wanted to eat. But notice, this one dies without faith, but then there's another guy that dies with faith. What is faith? Oh, the scripture said faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I didn't see him that day. I didn't see him that day. But I tell you what, I felt him come in. A lot of folks say when they got saved, you come in here. He didn't come in here first when I got it. I tell you where he came in at. Down here at the bottom. Woo! Came in down here at the bottom, amen, and worked his way on up, amen. And oh, listen, when he worked his way on up to here, I'm telling you what, for the first time in my life, I felt clean. For the first time in my life, I felt pure. For the first time in my life, I felt peace that I've never felt before. Oh, the psalmist David said it was peace like a river that flooded my soul. I was just in awe. I was just amazed when Jesus saved me by his grace. But hear this old beggar. Don't have anything. Don't have nothing. Couldn't even afford taking the funeral home on gas. Oh, but he had faith. He had faith.
Amen.
And I want to tell you what. Look at it. Just don't take my word for it. Look at what the scripture says. Amen. Here these two guys are dying. One's dying in faith and the other one is dying without faith. Oh, but listen. Now look at the next thing. Look at the next thing. These two guys died. One of them went to hell because of his unbelief. Because he didn't put any faith in the Lord. He went to hell. And the second one died and he went to paradise. He went to heaven. I've often thought about this when I've studied this and read this. You know, they probably took his body out, this beggar, took his body out probably behind the streets, maybe throwed it up on the dumpster, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, before that man's body got cold, he done walked in the gates of the city. The gates of pearl, the walls of jasper and sardine, done passed by the 12 foundations that hold up the city. Done crossed over the river of life. I don't know, when he crossed over, he looked out on the river of life and he probably saw the 12 fruit trees that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And he didn't waste any time. He didn't stop and talk to Paul and Moses and Abraham, the father of our faith, and the psalmist David, the great king that he was. He just passed on by and went to where the Father was. Because the right of the Father was the Father's Son.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying tonight? Amen. I mean, just passed it all by to get over that where the Son was. Yeah. Amen. Oh, listen, my friend. I tell you what. I say this with all of my heart. We'll cast our glittering crowns at his feet and cry, "Worthy is the Lamb and worthy to be praised," when we get there. Folks, I tell you, I'm not interested about seeing the river of life. I'm not interested about seeing the foundation. I'm not interested about seeing a lot of it. I just want to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the royal diadem. Oh, listen, I want to see him one day, and I'm going to, thank God. Can you imagine what that beggar saw? Oh, 30 minutes ago he's begging for bread, and now he's been ushered into the very presence of royalty. He's been ushered into the very presence of holiness. Amen. I thought about that brother when he's testifying back there about the veil of the temple being rent in twain. I wonder if there's a priest in there when that veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. And if he was, I guarantee he had his garment on that had the bells on. And I guarantee after that thing was rent in twain from top to bottom and he saw the glory and the power of God, I believe the prayer bells went to ringing. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. One of them went to heaven, and the other went to hell. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going, Brother David? Amen. Where are you going? Yeah, you know what? Where are you going? Amen. Yeah, where are you going? I can walk all over this building and ask you tonight, where you going? Where you going, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, I've been praying for that boy. Brother Webb told me the other day. Oh, he got saved. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, going to heaven. Amen. The young and the old. Oh, where are you going tonight, man? Where are you going, sir? Where are you going, young boy? Where are you going, young girl? One or two places. Where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, listen. Boy, that's important. That's important. That's important. Where are you going? In this story, in this scripture, talks about two ways of dying, in faith and without faith. Two places that a man goes, one's heaven and one's hell. Where are you going? Where are you going now? Where are you going tonight? Several years ago, I was pastoring a church in Cullman. Chairman of my deacons was my song director. He was a holy man of God. His wife taught Sunday school for 30-something years. Him, chairman of deacons, song leader in the church. We have a revival meeting. But Gladys Neesmith's helping me in meeting. We was having a day and night meeting. See, back in those days, folks would take a vacation. You have a revival. We was having revival. And the church house that Sunday morning had more folks than what we've got here now. Church was packed during one of the day meetings. And Bunny Smith got up that day, and boy, he preached the glory of God. And conviction fell all over the place. Have you ever been in a meeting so strong that you could just see the conviction and power of God? And at that time, my wife and I had our oldest daughter, and she was 3 years old. And that deacon's wife, she had her sitting in her lap. And boy, I'm telling you what, we started singing, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?"
Yeah.
Y'all know that song?
Yeah.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Oh, let me tell you. We started that song. My wife was playing the piano. That woman, she took my daughter and she handed her to another lady. And here she come. Here she come. Yeah. Fell down on her knees.
Yeah. Yeah.
She looked at me and she said, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't know if I'm saved. I've taught Sunday school here in this church for 30 years. I don't know if it's been hypocritical or not. Preacher, I don't know. And preacher, I want to know."
Yeah.
Oh boy, I'll tell you what, those women in the church, those saints of God, they gathered around her. And oh, listen, we began to pray and she began to pray. And oh, one of those old saints got up and started singing that song, "Brethren, we've met to worship."
Amen.
Amen. And I'm telling you what, that woman, she come up out of that altar, and boy, she is shouting the victory. And that woman, she is running up and down the aisles and shouting the victory. And when she got through, she's shouting. She said, "Brother Box, I've just got saved. I know I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt." She said, "I know that heaven's my home." And she looked at me and said, "Preacher, I want to be baptized next Sunday if it'll be all right down in Smith Lake." And I said, "Ma'am, that'll be fine." "Yes, sir." Listen, you know that you know. You don't have to go through life wondering if you're going to make it or not. This thing's not a hope so. It's not a maybe so. It's a no so salvation. It's real tonight, my friend. Do you know it? You're going. You're going. Do you know where you're going? You and your precious wife has got to go back home tonight. You know where you're going, don't you?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm proud to know the way, don't you? Amen. Yeah. Oh, I better give an altar call. I can charge up and go some more. Amen. Do you know? Do you know? Are you saved? Preacher, I got some doubt. Come down here this evening.
Yeah, right.
Get that doubt out.
That's right.
Preacher, I don't know. Come get that out.
Yeah.
And know. Can I tell you something? There's people here that'll meet you here. Matter of fact, Miss Johnny, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on right now. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. There's people here that will pray with you, want to see you get saved.
Amen.
They are. And I tell you what, those that are here that want to see somebody get saved, just get up and come on right now.
Yeah.
Just get up, come on right now.
Yeah.
Just get up, come on right now.
Yeah.
Come on.